Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Rahalastapa this week with the awesome Connie Huck, who is a lot of fun. Look, we're going through difficult times here, as we all are, and we want to keep you entertained. So we've set up a live streaming channel at twitch.tv/RKHerring. There's stone clearing at 8 a.m. There's snooker at 7:30 p.m. We're going to do some live interviews for Rahalastapa. Rahalastapa! And maybe lots of more stuff. I might play Civ 2 and you can watch. I might play Scrabble and you can watch. We might try and put some sketches together. It's all free. You can subscribe if you want and pay some money. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can give us free money every single month by just linking your Twitch and Amazon Prime accounts. We're going to put a video of this explaining it up. You should be able to see. Then just remember to return every month and resubscribe, and you can give us $5 a month for nothing from Ian Amazon's big bank vault full of money. He's a fool. He's given this money out for free. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm happy to take some of it and turn it into more content for you. It's a win-win-win situation. Do keep listening to the podcast. That's a great way to help us as well. And also, if you're concerned as I am about the live comedy circuit scene with clubs and comedians, please help you stand-up comedians get through this difficult time. They literally have no other income, many of them. They've relied on just the gigs they do every week in clubs. There are no clubs on at the moment. Many of them will do stuff online, but I don't know how much money they'll be able to raise through that. So to help the people who are struggling, we set up a Just Giving account. If you look for Just Giving and heckle the virus, you'll be able to give, maybe just go every month while this is going on, and donate the cost of one gig ticket, and that will be redistributed by the people at Next Up Comedy. Thanks so much to them for organising this and help people through this difficult period. Do help the people in your own communities. If you don't think stand-up comedians are the priority, find someone who is the priority. Don't complain about it and then do nothing, is what I'm saying. Please feel free to donate money to any of the other self-employed people or people who are out of work because of this. Help everyone through. Look out for your neighbours. Do talk to your friends who are isolating alone. If you are isolating alone, make sure you're staying in contact with your friends and family, listening to these podcasts, and you can come and join us on Twitch TV and have a chat on there as well. Anyway, let's sit back, relax, enjoy the fabulous and surprisingly rude, Connie Huck. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who now equates illness with drunkenness. It's Richard Herring. Fine. That's fine. I've had a week to recover. I'm fine. Oh, no, actually, they're going out in a different order. So it's... Never mind. Welcome. Yeah, none of this is going to make sense now. Think about it. Fuck it. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lee Stewart's Theatre podcast. I'm in dressing room one. It's got Stuart Lee written on and a picture of Stuart Lee on it, all printed up nice. Could have taken that down for the day, couldn't they? They don't put that up when I'm in. They don't put Richard Herring a nice little photo of me sucking up to him. I was hanging around with Alan Measles the other day. You remember him from the Rahalastapur that was ages ago. He calls it Rahalastapur, so I don't know if that's gonna catch on. I've literally got nothing to talk to you about beforehand, so let's go. Let's see if we can. If there's anyone new in the front row, I'm not sure. I've met this lady before. Have I met you before? What's your you say fuck off to me? How dare you? It's very nice. I'm just coming to have a chat. What's your name? Ellen, you're wearing a kind of stripy top. That's a kind of very Richard Herring friendly stripy top. Sorry, I didn't wear my stripy top today. What do you do for a living, Ellen? A graphic designer. That's one step up from IT, isn't it? That's they actually have to draw it themselves, not just type something in. It's good. What was the best thing you've designed? You don't know. What's your mum most proud of? Not much. Okay. Not going very well, is it, Ellen? You and me. It's not. It's, what's the best pencil to use? 2B. Okay, good. I could do a joke about it. I'm not going to. I thought of it immediately. That's how my brain is so sharp. I immediately thought. Are you with Ellen?
Yes.
What's your name?
Dan.
Dan, that's nice. And what do you do for a living, Dan?
I'm a journalist.
He's a journalist. Are you reviewing the show?
No, I'm not.
Oh. It's my fucking time. What do you journal for?
Freelance.
Are you trying to tell me you've never had anything in the paper? Yeah, what was the last thing you had in? You're basically unemployed. What was the last thing you had in? What sort of stuff is it? Why are you being so cagey? Is it poor? Is it hustler? No. You're not going to tell me what it is. Wow. It just makes me more interested. Just more interested in why you're so... It's a very buff kind of guy, isn't he? He works out a bit. He's a nice-looking guy, isn't he? I'm not saying you're punching above your weight, but he's a good-looking guy. Done very well, Alan. Right, we're going to crack straight on. I wouldn't mind. I don't care what you write about me. I don't care. There's no judgment. My guest this week is probably best known for her role as a schoolgirl in 2.4 Children. That is... Yeah, remember that show? Will you please welcome the amazing Connie Huck, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome. You have to. There's a microphone. You have to hold that up on your face and say hello.
Can do that. Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Very good. Do you remember being the schoolgirl in 2.4 Children? Uncredited.
I never made it in.
What?
Cutting floor. I was just an extra.
Yeah.
I don't even
matter.
Know how you even found that out.
I know everything
I've
about you.
I've forgotten that. I mean, that was like when I was actually a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
Funnily enough. Yeah.
That's all over your. That's on Wikipedia. It's on IMDb. It's everywhere.
I don't look at the internet much. I'm the only one. I'm the only one in the whole world.
You don't want to look there, Connie. There's some awful things on there.
Yeah, I know. So I've heard.
Look, we've got history, you and me. We've got a beef to settle right here, right now.
Okay.
We were both in a show called The Other Boat Race, and you were on that.
Oh, gosh, were
you? You've forgotten me, haven't you, Connie? You've forgotten about me.
I've blocked that from my memory. You can understand why I've blocked that from my memory.
We had to do an Oxford-Cambridge boat race. Connie Huck was the cox of the Cambridge. Jonathan Aitken was the cox of the Oxford boat. 6'3", by far the tallest person in our boat. Very heavy. Connie Huck, probably quite a good choice of coxswain. During the race, you steered into our boat.
Yeah, I did.
I hit one of your crew in the face with the
The oar yeah. nearly killed her.
I'm amazed they managed to put anything out. We never even finished the race, really.
We did. We won. That's why you forgot that. So you wiped that from Oxford. Oxford won as his only right. We had to restart. Do you remember that? And we'd done something to our boat that stopped the water coming in. And I think the reason you lost was because loads of water kind of... Because it was really...
We sunk,
It basically. Was really cold. It was really cold and wet and the big waves. And these waves were coming into your boat and we... And you had to have sand put into your boat because...
Gosh, you remember this so clearly.
Because it's the only time I ever fucking won anything in my life.
Yeah. Well, at least you won one thing. I've never won anything in my life.
We got a cup saying winner and a medal saying winner, and you got a medal saying loser, which I thought was in a two-horse race. Well, it was a bit rude.
The story
of my life.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
So anyway, I've forgiven you. Did you...
You've forgiven me for what? You won.
Crashing into us.
I lost.
You nearly killed me. I nearly killed a woman. I nearly killed a professional rower. That's the worst thing of it. We were really G'd up to hate you. It's taken me a long time. Not you personally, the whole boat of people. That our people really made
this
us.
These Oxford people, they're so competitive.
They are. But you know,
Cambridge, we couldn't care less.
We had Toby Young and Jonathan Aitken in our boat, and I still preferred them to you. That's how. But I've got over it. The Cambridge boat was a group of much nicer people.
We were just normal. They were weirdos.
Yeah, we were weirdos.
As you can tell.
Dare you. So, Connie Huck.
Yes.
You were on Blue Peter.
No way.
That's what my research has told me. You're the longest serving female presenter of Blue Peter in Blue Peter history.
Woo! Oh, thanks.
That makes it sound like a sort of prison sentence, but that's
I know, sir. It does, impressive. Doesn't it? I served my time.
What?
They couldn't get rid of me, basically, because it's like the dream job. Yeah. Literally. And actually, we had a new head of children's at one point. She was like, oh, Connie's been there too long. So they decided to terminate my contract. But by the time my contract was up, she'd left. So I got a stay of execution. And then, like, literally, every time I thought I should leave, it was like, oh, well, if you stay for a few more episodes, it will be your 4,000th show, and then you can do 10 years, and then after that, so you can be the longest serving. There was always some sort of record or benchmark or something, so I just ended up staying forever.
You're not competitive at all, are you?
No, that's the thing, I'm not, though, because other people would have come and gone and tried to, you know, crack the world of, I don't know, grown-up telly or whatever, but I'm really like, if it ain't broke, don't think, you know, it's clinging on. I'd just have happily been there now, really. I don't like to change things up.
You could still be there. You still look exactly the same as you did. You do. You still look 12 years old, which is a kind of compliment.
It's sort of, but I'm like 44 and it's a bit weird.
What do you think, what's your favourite memory of Blue Peter? What's the best thing you did on Blue Peter?
Just all the travel.
Yeah.
Before I was on Blue Peter, I'd literally not been anywhere. And then suddenly, especially because at one point it was on 5 times a week, because they were introducing this sort of... digital channels. So we were Monday, Wednesday and Friday on terrestrial. Then Tuesday and Thursday, we were on digital. So they had to just fill so much airtime that literally you'd be, I don't know, going off to Scunthorpe, then to a live studio, then flying to Italy or something, and then terrible for carbon footprint, but just brilliant for,
No one cared about that then.
No, give a shit. Give a shit, the planet, whatever. But the point is that, honestly, I'd led such a sheltered life till then. And literally, you don't just go to a place. You see behind the scenes of the place. You sort of meet the people. It was a dream job, hence I didn't leave for over a decade.
And what was the worst thing about doing it?
I literally can't think of a worst thing. Isn't that like...
That's amazing.
That's just gross, isn't it? That's horrible. People hate their jobs. And
you sort of left after there was a slight... I mean, there was a few controversies when you were there.
We named a cat with the wrong name. It was a massive controversy. Yeah. And
that bloke took all those cocaines as well.
That was probably worse. Not the best example for the children.
There was a controversy towards the end of about the competition. There was a competition that was a phone-in competition.
Don't you remember?
I don't remember it. I had to look it up and I thought, God, that is pathetic.
Just in telly in general. Yeah. So RDF, the production company, made a documentary about the Queen and they edited her storming out of a room, supposedly, but only they'd edited it all in the wrong order and she'd been going into a room. And then suddenly, literally every TV programme had to trawl through all their emails and their back catalogue of whether, everything was genuine, was that caller on the line a real person, blah, 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 blah. And they found this competition which we had to name a cat. And the top scoring name was actually Cookie.
Right.
And they called the cat Socks because I think the editor preferred the name Socks.
Right.
And so then, yeah, all hell broke loose and he got sacked. And
you had to go on and apologise.
I did, because we'd let everyone down.
Yeah. Have you forgiven yourself for it?
I don't know. There still might be traumatised people out there that wanted that cat to be called Cookie and it got called Socks. Oh. You know, childhood is when we're shaping and forming, and things that get us then, they can affect us for life, as we know. So as us grown-ups know. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So are you... well, look, I've been reading. Let's talk about your book. You've been written a book called Cookie, funnily enough.
And, yeah, that is a total coincidence. it isn't me carrying that with me for life.
And the most annoying boy in the world.
Yeah.
It seems to me the character's basically called Connie Huck.
Well, no, no.
And and went to school in the same place you did and has the same number of sisters you did and was on was on Brainbusters instead of Block, but you were on Blockbusters.
I know, and I didn't get any questions right. And she doesn't get any questions right. It's just, and literally she gets asked the same questions that I got asked. So it's like me laying that demon to rest.
Obviously. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Maybe.
What I quite like. That's what
I feel like I'm in therapy all of a sudden.
I mean, that's a bit of a spoiler, but that's what I mean, you know, there's no 7-year-olds listen to this, and if they do, fuck off. Yeah. Not for you.
You should be in
bed. I'm not apologising for anything. I took some cocaine and I liked it. It was okay. I advise you to do the same. Now, next week, that has to be, I'm very sorry to say.
Yeah. Not only have I let me down, but I've let you
That's
all
what
down.
I liked about the book was there's a few... I mean, there's lots of things I like, but I really like the fact that it doesn't follow the kind of trajectory you're expecting. There's some rugs pulled away, and the main character goes...
She's a bit mental, that main character.
Yeah, I don't know where you got that from. And it's... and she gets all of her questions wrong. It's brilliant.
Well, you know what? You've listened to the audiobook, and the actual humour is in all the comic strips. And I said, we shouldn't really do an audiobook because the funny bits are in all the pictures. So you've sort of...
It was very funny. It was a very funny book. I think my wife writes for the same sort of age group and the same sort of thing about rivalries between school kids. And it's really well observed in terms of all that making friends, falling out with people.
Yeah.
And she's sort of not very self-aware of when she's being...
She's totally, unaware. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that age, I have to say, it's like, I don't know, as kids, we're all a blank canvas, aren't we? And then everything is what society puts on you, and half of it's bullshit and absurd.
Yeah.
And kids really realise that more than grown-ups. They're really refreshing.
Yeah.
And so kind of it's sort of showing that in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of science and stuff in there sort of subtly interwoven in.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of knowledge woven in there. Because everything... And so our oldest turned 7, and then he got the Wimpy Kid books. And I sort of was like, okay, let's read a book tonight. And it's like... He's 7 years old. It's the first book. He's like, the fit girls in high school and this and that. You know, because it was written 10 years ago, sort of pre-Me Too. And I thought, hey, wouldn't it be good to write a funny book where actually they're sort of learning something in a stealth fashion? So it's all really woke, but it's hidden. It's like stealth woke and stealth education.
Yeah.
But it's disguised as a funny romp. So I always say it's sort of like Bridget Jones meets Wimpy Kid.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. If that
That's
could
what
be
we'd like to see. I'm talking about Me Too. Bloody hell. And you can do accents. It's worth getting the audiobooks. You do a Liverpudlian accent. It's worth listening.
Oh, yeah. A Scouser accent, like,
I think it's meant to be Liverpudlian.
From years of watching Brookside in my youth that I have perfected.
And you do a Bart Simpson impression in there.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. At the very, in the beginning of me. You want me to do it now?
No, I don't mean if you don't feel.
Yo, homeboy.
No, you see, I can't do it.
Oh, Lisa.
I need to get into it. Sometimes
you can't just go straight into it. Sometimes I can't go straight into my Scottish accent.
No,
exactly. And I mean it. Then it's just perfect, though. Just sometimes a little tweak at the beginning. So, I mean, you did a lot of things when you were, you were a schoolgirl in 2.4 Children. You were in the National Youth Music Theatre and you appeared on Blue Peter when you were 14. Is that true?
Yeah, I was in
you
a
sang
play
a solo
with Jude Law, actually, and he was like 17. And
wow.
Yeah, no, so what year was this? I'm trying to think of the year, but I can't do maths that quickly.
You were 14.
Yeah, I still can't do maths
30
that quickly.
Years, it's 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that should be easy. Yeah,
I would say... I'd say it's 1989, but I get confused with that because that feels like that can't be 30 years ago, right? So I keep let's say it's 1979.
I'm just in denial that I'm old now.
Yeah.
Like, I had an invite to my 20-year school reunion. And I was like, no, this only happens in those films where they go back to the small town in America where they grew up. You know, that can't be, this must be a mistake. And now I can't even say that that was recently, because that anecdote is old now. So it will be like my 25-year school reunion or whatever next. And I got the GP NHS survey thing, you know, the patient questionnaire, and I realised that next year I move up a box.
Yeah.
And whereas I'm in like the 35 to 44 box, next year I'm like 45
Enjoy
to
Enjoy it while you can.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Goes by very fast.
Yeah.
Goes by very, very fast. So you were, you do, so what got you into TV and presenting in the first place?
Do you know, actually, so there was an advert in Time Out magazine, and it was for Open. This is when, like, there were only four channels on the telly, and they started doing B, Sky B, and Sky, you know, people got satellite dishes. And there was a channel called The Family Channel and a channel called The Children's Channel, but there was a gap in between. Because the children's channel ended like 5 o'clock and the family channel ended at 7. So they wanted to film these 2 hours with youth programming. And in Time Out magazine, they had open auditions for TV presenters. So me and my sister thought it'd be fun to go along for a laugh. You had to be 18 to 25. And I was 16 and still at school. So I wasn't sort of trying to get the job. I just thought it would be fun. And I was in a girls' school. I thought we'd meet boys and, you know, all of that stuff. Anyway, and I went along. So I was, because sometimes when you're not trying to do get something, then it's easier. And I kept getting these callback auditions. And then I got this job and they thought I was unemployed and I'd left school. And I told my head of sixth form, who was quite called John Sargent's wife, Mrs. Sargent.
Okay.
And she was like, that will look really good on your Ucker form. And so she actually negotiated with the production company. And I'd done my maths A-level a year early because I was doing further maths. I was going to be an engineer. I was doing like maths, further maths, physics and chemistry. And so I had all these free periods. And I like would they got me a pager. This is pre-mobile phones. And I'd have to go to the school payphone when they bleeped me. It didn't even have the messages. It was literally a red light went off. And then I'd go and interview, like, take that in East 17. And suddenly this square Asian girl was kind of cool, and it was great. And I'm sure that's what got me into university, because it did look quite good
did
on my
look good
form.
On this. So maybe, maybe we'll meet Take That if we have her here. Maybe she'll bring them along. That's really... What did your friends at school think about you
I sort of had this newfound cool all of a sudden. Yeah, it was a bit weird, really. But Take That weren't really big then. There was a period where they used to just go around, like, literally naked with the letters T-H-A-T, you know, Take and That.
Yeah.
I can't even spell. I just spelled that. That's good, there was an H in
there. That's why they didn't do so well to begin with.
But they were literally in smash hits every week and on every sort of kids show trying to break it. And anyway, I went and interviewed them. And then subsequently, they did well with like a million love songs or something. And then we ran that interview when they became famous.
Right.
So, but and East 17, I interviewed them loads. I went around their house and stuff. It was just whoever was knocking around, which was always East 17, it seemed to be. So.
I met East 17 when you presented Top of the Pops as well. I presented Top of the Pops in the mid-90s. And they were on doing that.
And they did a lot of that, didn't they?
Brian Harvey was eating a family pack of Maltese. I remember, like,
on
his own, yeah.
Okay.
On his own, he didn't share them, he didn't offer us one.
Didn't Tony Mortimer want one?
He was in the canteen. And then he went on to baked potatoes, didn't he, next? And that was his downfall. Just like anything big and brown and round. So he's into. Thought, I can eat those now. Going to try and eat the moon next.
Moon's not brown.
Yeah, so...
I did work experience at TV Centre.
Did he?
Yeah, because I lived in Ealing. It was just sort of down the road. But the canteen was just... I remember, like, see, Andrew... Do you remember Andrew O'Connor?
Yeah.
He used to present Turnabout in lunchtimes after Watch With Mother or whatever. Anyway, sorry, that was my claim to fame, but I remember being really excited to see him.
He's gone on to be the executive producer of Peep Show and all that stuff.
He hasn't he moved to America now and
probably.
He's in showbiz or whatever. Yeah. But anyway, and then I remember...
What sweets was he eating?
He was eating just normal canteen food in the canteen. And I ended up sitting with him out having lunch. I was doing work experience on the Ross Abbott Show.
Okay.
And they all went off on location. So I used to just wander around the corridors of TV
Centre.
That's
dangerous for someone who looks like you. That's a very dangerous.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't bump into Jimmy.
That's now all people like. That's all people's flats now. That's all been turned into flats,
it's
right?
All, yeah, and it's Soho House, and it's all a bit trendy.
Do you want to live in possibly where Jimmy Savile raped some kids?
Yeah, apparently one of the most expensive properties in London.
Yeah, it will be
TV Centre.
Yeah,
no, wouldn't want to live there.
It mirrors the Grenfell Tower's the other side of the Westfield, and these posh flats, the BBC on
Have
the other
you
side.
Been back?
Yeah, I was there. I used to live there, so.
Those posh flats?
No, I used to live in Shepherd's Bush, I'd be up there all the time, and you'd notice once the fire had happened, you could see that was the. I'm not that I'm obsessed with this, but it just summed up London. You had this massive shopping centre, these ridiculously expensive flats, which were for sale. I just thought Savills, the estate agent, wouldn't touch them, but they did. They were. Yeah, I got this from Savills. And then on the other side, it just sums up London. But that's why I don't live in London anymore.
That's why you moved out?
That's why I moved. No, I was moving anyway, but it did make it a bit. It brought it home. It brought
society,
it home.
Though, I think.
It is. But it's all that.
It's all that. Oh no! Don't get me started.
No.
I'll start ranting. And
I like it when you rant. You ranted on the Jeremy Vine show about
I know.
Brexit.
I did rant. I should have said nose instead of head, shouldn't I? And then that would have been all right.
Yeah, you did. It was a Muslim saying, "What if everyone chopped off everyone's head off?"
That was a bad journalist. You're just misquoting everything. But you agree with the sentiment, right?
I do. Yeah. Did you see Piers Morgan taking the piss out?
Yeah. But I know. Oh God, we used to have to do. I know Piers because we used to have to do the eco campaigning for Eon, and we had to do all these photo shoots with like this giant polar bear and stuff, and he'd be in this green suit and I had to wear a green dress. It was so naff. I can't believe I did that now. And we're always like sort of taking the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
And him and Charlie have a running joke of, well, no, it's not even a running joke, an ongoing hatred of each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no joke. And
I can't really imagine the two of them joshing around and being mates. Yeah. Hey, we had a lot of fun taking the piss.
And have you seen Touch of Cloth ever?
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, someone's seen it.
Good.
If you haven't seen it, you should see it. But I don't know if it's on any streaming platform. But in that, he continually is taking the piss out of Piers Morgan.
Right, okay.
It's like a sort of spoof of a sort of crime thriller series. It's so good. It needs to be back on telly.
Yeah, get it back on.
Yeah,
what's he been up to? He hasn't done anything, has he, Charlie, recently?
No, but it's been...
He should get back doing Touch of Cloth. That would be good.
Really good though. You can do that. And
He can't be that busy. Let's quickly talk about Charlie, because you met Charlie. Some people think it's an unlikely partnership, the two of you, the Blue Peter ex-presenter and the sort of rudest man on TV. Now, I sort of wonder whether it started off. You did his screen wipe show where you did a thing about men weeing on the hillside.
Yeah, men. Well, because that was when Trini and Susanna and Gokwon and all that kept doing these sort of empowerment things where everyone would go naked on a hillside or, you know, do these things like get a big bus with the slogan, like, let's all get naked or whatever. And so then we did one about men with shycock.
Yeah.
Paruresis. Have I said it wrong?
I don't know.
Paruresis.
Shycock did the job.
Which is when you can't piss in a urinal next to another bloke. Does anyone have that here?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Well, there you go. And so we were trying to... you should have been on the show.
I should have come
on. We could have cured you and empowered you. But that's not when we actually met. We were sort of friends for ages before getting together.
But it must have been like, oh, I'll do the Blue... You know, that must have been quite edgy. You'd come out Blue Peter, presumably by that stage, and you're doing a thing about men weeing on a hillside.
They often would ask, but Blue Peter never let us do anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to be as clean as a whistle, apart from when you do coke, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's why, I didn't do anything on his show till I left.
So you did that, then you thought, that hasn't been edgy enough, so I'll go out with him. And then that hasn't been enough, so I'm going to have to marry him now. Yeah. And then that didn't work, so you have
got
kids with him, and then...
And then
now
what,
you're stuck
now?
With him, aren't you? You're stuck with him just because you were trying to...
No, just divorce him.
I think he's much nicer than he appears on the telly, right? He's not as...
People are always like thinking he'll be really scary
because
he's got that on-screen persona of sort of grumpy, scary bloke. But he's a real softie.
Yeah, and you are probably much nastier than you appear on the TV.
I seem really nice, but I'm a total bitch. Like, this is just my public persona.
Yeah.
But so actually we meet in the middle and it works really well.
Yeah. And is it?
But we are totally opposite. Actually, the other day I was looking at this family picture of us. We never have family photos, but I found this selfie from when the kids were young, and I realised he's got the biggest head in the world and I've got the smallest head in the world. And I thought when we have kids, they'll have normal size heads. And actually our 5-year-old's head is bigger than mine and our 7-year-old has a tiny head. Wow. Sorry, this is just boring. This is fascinating stuff. But anyway.
Well, he was saying when he was on very recently. He was here.
He was here last week. Like
last week. I can't work out the timing of it.
He was trying to work out what day, and I was like, no, don't do it. We didn't want to be together.
No, I wouldn't have put you
on. Because we hate each other.
I wouldn't have put you on together because who'd look after the kids?
I'm
thoughtful like that.
Yeah,
I understand
thank
that.
You.
But he said that he is very fastidious about sell-by dates and you're not fastidious about
Oh, my God. I mean, like, literally, sell-by dates are a real bug. I mean, I've got all...
This is
a big problem in our household.
Yeah.
No, but, like, literally, if you look on anything, like, you get, I don't know, 500 millilitres of Greek yogurt, and it says eat within 2 days, you'd be having Greek yogurt for every fucking meal if you ate it within 2 days. Does anyone actually do that? Or do people just literally bin everything?
Yeah.
Is that what you all do? What do you do? What do you do anyway?
It splits with my wife bins the stuff and I eat the stuff. You can tell Charlie that I have got food poisoning this week.
Yeah.
So it's, but that's from eating the food my wife has prepared for me. So that is, if it is
but
food
like,
poisoning.
Literally, if it smells off and it looks off, it's off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I only eat things that are years. I find things in the freezer that have been there since 1976 and I'll eat it. And I never get ill. And he's ill the whole time. He's literally ill the whole time. I'm not even kidding. Was he ill when he was here last
week? No, he seemed okay. He seemed quite good.
Yeah, because so he could tell that anecdote and not have it come back and hit him.
I said, what should I ask her about? He said, don't ask her about sell-by dates, is what he said. So I said, I definitely will ask her.
He's so paranoid about food poisoning all the time. He's literally like, oh, did you touch that? Wash your hands before you touch it. Like,
very sensible man.
And then, whatever.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Whatever. Should I tell you about the other arguments in our house?
Yeah, of course.
Well, he says that all couples have. Do you guys have a thing about loading the dishwasher?
Well, I do.
So this is getting really boring, isn't it?
I do it. If anyone else touches it, I'm annoyed.
Really?
That's my job. I do the bins.
I hate loading it, and he'll always dictate how to load it.
Yeah, that's me.
But
so I'm like him
himself.
In that.
My friend, actually, her and her husband have this Barney the whole time. She actually taped him the other day ranting, and he's like, you have no spatial awareness. She just sent me this audio message. But there's households up and down the country that just fall out over the dishwasher.
Well, you've got to be very careful, because if you put a big plate in the wrong place in that dishwasher, then it clogs up the spinning thing. And my wife does not... However many times I tell my wife, she doesn't understand that. So I have to... You have to put the big plates right at the edge, and then it can spin. But you still have to check...
Yeah, but
they're leaning against the wall.
How big are your big plates?
They're not that big, but it's a quite a small dishwasher.
Oh, well, you see, you need a bigger dishwasher, because ours spins with the big plates in there.
Well, that's how the other half live, Connie. That's the old Black Mirror money there.
I don't mind one single...
I just do this podcast. That's why I've got a little...
No, but actually, right, yeah. It is more eco-friendly to fill a dishwasher up to the hilt.
Yeah, okay.
But to do several loads on a small dishwasher isn't as eco-friendly.
It's,
but
not,
also,
it's not tiny small.
Wait,
but it's,
this is
it's
this dishwasher.
Small,
edit all this out, by the
no,
way.
No, I'm not going to. This is the best. This is fucking gold.
Okay, this is gold. Okay. It's and just, also, I would rather scrape a bit of dried up spinach off a plate than put three loads in to do the same amount of...
Why do you have a dishwasher then? The massive dishwasher. I'd say it's a three-quarter size dishwasher. It's just the space in the kitchen. We've got a lovely kitchen. It's just...
But you live in a grade two listed country mansion, so you could have had a bigger dishwasher.
I could have had a
You moved out of Shepherd's Bush to get more space and your dishwasher is tiny. I know it. More for you.
My dishwasher's smaller than my bath smaller and I'm furious. And once you've got those things...
Oh, Charlie's furious because he doesn't think our bath is wide enough. He's changed, everyone. Yeah. He's changed since them Channel 4 days. So it's all changed now.
I agree
Netflix,
with that. I'm
Netflix.
On his side on that as well. We had a really nice bath in our old house and you could both sit in it and it was lovely.
And now
it's just got tiny... It's, you know, it's
like there's America have weird baths. So they're really low and shallow. Is it like a shallow?
It's like a bath, but it's, you know, it's too small. It's like the dishwasher.
Okay.
I think I might have accidentally moved into a model village.
How big is your... How many bedrooms have you got?
Oh, so many.
I knew it. You live in a mansion, don't you? It's great to list this much, I found out.
Yeah. It's a nice house.
That's his excuse for not getting solar panels. We were talking about being eco. He's got an electric car, but he doesn't want the solar panels making
his
house
ugly. Hey,
come
on, what are we talking about backstage stays backstage? Or or do you want them to know what you said about Valerie Singleton? Which was nothing. You were in Blue Peter when they dug up the Millennium, the time capsules.
Oh, yeah, it's stinking.
Yeah.
It was rancid.
I had such a good time. I watched those. I mentioned it in a recent podcast. I watched those the other day and I was laughing my head off.
I was literally retching. I had to do the nose block thing because it was so putrid and stinking.
Ugh. You were like, there's John Noakes there. There were all the stars
we got
came
them all
back. And they were all kind of, they were trying to make the best of it. Going, oh, look, you can almost see what that is. They were full to the brim. Every one of them full to the brim of water. Everything waterlogged. I mean, were you furious with the people who put those time capsules?
Because that's furious.
The first thing about time capsules, it's got to be waterproof, right? That's the point, isn't it?
They really stitched us up.
Otherwise, it's just a very tiny underground bar.
It was the same people what done the garden in, I reckon.
Yeah.
It was Magpie. The people of Magpie.
Could be the Magpie.
Yeah, that's what it was.
They hold a long breath.
Everyone's too young to even know what I'm talking about. You know Magpie? No.
Look again.
It's so dark, I can't see in there.
Okay. They're very old.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who's laughing now, Magpie or Blue Peter?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done very well. Done very well, Blue Peter. What is it like when you get to meet all those, the legendary Blue Peter presenters when they all, because on those... They do it every now and again. We have a 50-year...
Yeah, do you know what? It's really weird. It's like belonging to a weird family.
Right.
Because, you know, like with your extended family, you don't choose them, but you sort of have an affection, well, sort of, or you hate them or whatever, I don't know. But you're always sort of back together at every Christmas or every, I don't know, 50th or whatever. And there's always some anniversary or other where they wheel us ex-presenters out. Like, we've got a Blue Peter Christmas archive programme or something that they're filming, like, in the next couple of weeks and this and that. And so, actually, you know, the first time you meet them, you're a bit, oh, there's John Noakes and there's Valerie Singleton or whatever. And then now they're just like... You know, sort of strange uncles and aunties, I guess.
Was it the Purvis, Noakes and Singleton? Were they your three or Judd?
My
Judd?
Three were Simon Groom.
Oh, is it that far?
Peter Duncan. Right. And, yeah. How much older are you than me?
Well, a little bit. 8 years older than you. But they went for a long... It felt they like they were in for a long time.
Not as long as me, though.
No. Well, obviously, Valerie Singleton wasn't... John Noakes must have done more longer.
He did. He was the only one that... did more than me. Was Charlie nice on this?
Yeah, he was lovely. Yeah, he was. You know, he was very polite.
He's
unlike
done this
his wife.
A couple of times.
He has. Yeah, he has. Yeah. He was very on very early and just been back on again. It's lovely to see him again.
Oh,
very nice.
I'm very happy.
I hadn't seen him for seven and a half years.
We saw you at Bing Live.
I know. We talked about that.
Oh, did he talk about that?
Yeah, I didn't see you. You didn't come up and say hello. I was stuck with the bloke from JLS. He was nice.
Yeah,
I was on the House of Games with him or something. I think wasn't I? So I knew him. What has my life become? What's going on? Do you enjoy Bing? Did you enjoy the Bing live show?
Because Charlie loved talked about it.
Yeah. Did you enjoy
Although,
it?
Although, did you get? You know, we're selling those spinny neon.
That's what
things.
He was talking about as well.
Oh, did he talk? Yeah. Oh no, we're so boring. We just talked about just, some things. But one of their spinny neon things broke, and so you know what that's like. It was just awful. All hell broke loose, and the other one's was working, and it was, the whole way home, it was just traumatic.
Never have two kids. That's my advice.
Oh, now you tell me.
Yeah, too late for
Bit
me as well.
Late.
If I'd known before.
I could always kill one. Oh, no.
It's going to look really bad if you do kill one of them.
You know what, though? This is why I don't like doing things. Like, things in... Like I
it's
said,
all right. It's
like,
okay. I think...
Because people don't get my humour, and that's why the Jeremy Vine thing happened. It's like, because now this, things get taken out of context.
I mean, and I can't,
I'm not very good at
self. It was clearly a joke.
No,
that's
you say
not,
that.
That's
so
not how the
Jeremy
Daily Express
Vine
are going to see it. There's and a fucking journalist on the front row. He's creaming his pants. He can't believe it. This could be his first job ever. I'm going to, I can sell a story. Mum, I'm going to get £25.
Did you work out what
he wouldn't tell me, he wouldn't say. Oh. Steve writes on the Blue Peter fanzine, I think.
Oh, no, he's trying to say you won't let him speak.
No,
you won't say.
You're
not, okay, you're right. You're right, he's unemployed, carry on.
What's wrong with you? I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Oh, yeah. Oh gosh, does that mean I'm doing badly?
No,
you've had
it just
to go
means
to like, oh,
done...
shit,
look,
she's really bored. Oh.
We're 40 minutes in and you haven't had one, that means you're doing very well.
Oh, does it? Let's see if we can go the whole hog.
No,
without
asking
me if I suck my cock or whatever you're going to ask me now. Oh, here we go. Quick, I need to think of an anecdote. Do you know, right, I bumped into you. Quick, Princess Anne at a thing, right? And because going back to the lies
cock?
In...
Is that why
no.
Is that
no, we're talking about lies in telly, remember?
Yeah.
And she went filming with Valerie Singleton. They did a special assignment around Africa. And she said to me, this was during the scandal of the lies in telly thing. She said to me, that's when I learned that TV was all lies. I went on safari with Blue Peter for 2 weeks, didn't see a bloody thing. Then I watched it on telly and there were some lion cubs being born. And so that was, you know, and she did swear as well. Wow. So there we go. Have I staved off the emergency questions?
No, we're going to ask you an emergency question. You did great
that
backstage with me. We want some more.
Oh.
What is the worst thing a cow has done to you? And that's probably the perfect question for a Blue Peter presenter, because it must be something.
And what is the worst thing? Do you mean like a cow, like a person that's a cow? Or
I mean
a cow.
I mean, I was thinking you can interpret it however you want.
I've had many encounters with a cow.
Have you not?
Oh, actually, no, I've milked a cow before, but it didn't do anything bad, but it didn't, not much milk came out.
Okay.
That's not really bad, is it? Or is it? Maybe,
I mean,
maybe she was keeping the milk in to spite me.
Yeah,
that's the worst thing a cow's done to me.
Okay.
Not give me milk.
Fair enough.
What's the worst thing a cow's done to you?
Oh,
he can dish it out, but he can't take it back.
A horse once ate my map when I was on a school field trip.
Not a cow, though, is it?
Quite similar. Similar.
It's an animal.
They're ungulates.
But so were we. What's the worst thing a person's done to you, Richard? Oh, really?
So many.
Go on, then.
The latest one is having his name on my dressing room door. But that's just the latest. That's the latest in a long list.
But the minute you come into this theatre, he's there.
I know.
And with a quote from the Times, best stand-up ever. I mean, rub your face in it.
And that's awful, isn't it?
It's awful.
Imagine if there was a picture of John Noakes up there going, longest serving 3 feet. We should have organised that. We can't be on. No, just we like to rub people's
Stuart
faces.
Stuart Lee's still alive.
He is. Yeah, not for long. Probably by the time this goes out, I'm going to kill him and one of your children.
Which one? Do you want a tip
The
off?
One with the no. big head.
That's the younger one.
Good. That's the spare. Look, you probably have an answer to this. I've never asked anyone this question. What have you done to help the aged?
Do you know what?
What?
I visited my old school today.
Did you?
Yeah, because they're doing a thing for their alumni magazine. And it reminded me, because opposite is St David's home, where I used to visit every week as part of my social services. And I used to spend an hour there every week. So I've done a lot to help the aged. That's well, unless they hated me. I might have, in fact, I might have helped them to an early grave.
What did you know. Do? What kind
I mean,
of
I think
you
I was like, I'd sit with them and read with them and like, you know, they'd tell me stories about yeah. their lives. Fascinating elderly people. And sometimes we'd play like, what's that thing called with the croquet?
Croquet?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those were active.
I did a lot with the old folks.
How was going back to the school? Were any of your same teachers there from the school?
No, because as we know, I'm really old
now. I know,
now.
But I've been,
they've
I went
all
back.
Moved on.
They've all gone now. There was one, Mr. Tadger Target was there for a long Mr. Target. We called him Tadger Target.
Not still there now, though.
He's
right?
not now, but he's only just retired.
Really?
He's related to a 10,000 year old skeleton. I mean, we all are, but he got in the news for it.
Really? Why? How? What?
Because his DNA...
What did he do to it?
He was the local history teacher that we found in Cheddar Caves. They found a skeleton of 10,000 years old, and they tested the DNA, and then they tested a class in the history class, and he was related to the skeleton.
Wow, that's wow.
Yeah, oh, he's been dining out on that one.
Yeah.
For a few years. Good, interesting. Let's see. Do your... What?
What?
Oh, this... no, we're not. That's for an interview. We're not doing it.
Oh, what? I'm intrigued. I won't answer it, but what was it?
I mean, it's rubbish.
Well, good. Share it. We'll be the judge of that.
There's 1,001 here. They can't all be gold.
You're just going to pick another one now. You must remember it.
I'm going to try and find it for you. What, it was, do you see yourself as a pterodactyl or a lawnmower?
Okay. That is rubbish. Yeah.
Good for an interview, though, wouldn't it? Because you'd have to answer it. If someone asked you that in an interview, you'd have to go, oh, I'm very much a lawnmower. I get things done and have a little basket on the front to catch their grass. Yeah. Or I'm a pterodactyl. I fly around eating other dinosaurs with my sharp beak.
I'm extinct.
If you were God, what flavour would you have made ejaculate?
Chocolate. Chocolate. Has to be chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate is my weakness.
Is it?
I love chocolate. Yeah.
You could just buy some chocolate.
Yeah. But then that's like chocolate with bells and whistles.
Okay. Well, with a lot of effort.
True. Yeah. Chocolate is worth the effort.
Yeah.
Okay. I love chocolate.
Do you?
Yeah, sorry. I said that already.
Yeah, it's
I like ganache and truffles best.
Do you?
Yeah. Do you like chocolate?
I'd stopped eating it because I like it too much.
I tried, but I just can't.
I stopped sucking men's cocks as well for the same reason. I've successfully stopped eating chocolate, but now I've replaced it basically with ice cream. I've done very well.
Do you really not eat chocolate?
I don't eat chocolate, and I don't
ever.
Drink, not anymore. Not this year.
Are you
haven't
kidding?
Haven't had any alcohol or chocolate this year.
Really? Yeah. I haven't had any alcohol my whole life, apart from like 3 times or 4. But I think 3 actually.
How come?
Because I don't drink.
Well, drink a bit. Have a go.
Well, I did. That was the 3 or okay. maybe 4 times. Okay. Wasn't into it.
Yeah, you got to.
Although
really...
people always think I'm drunk.
Yeah.
So I don't need it.
You don't need it. Yeah. You got to push through. I've been drinking a few non-alcoholic beers recently, just because you think.
What's the point?
Exactly, but they actually taste like beer tastes the first time you drink it. You know the
and
first.
And are you pushing
the first,
through?
Well, no, I'll stop.
See,
again.
I did that. It, yeah. I didn't push through.
Yeah. Yeah. You push if you push through with real beer, it's worth it.
Worth it for what?
Well, because you get drunk, you become more interesting.
I'm so interesting. I don't need
I'm talking for myself, sexually attractive. Yeah. Everyone thinks you're really funny.
So your wife, your poor wife this year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about the 2008 Summer Olympic torch debacle.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
That debacle where I got attacked.
You got attacked carrying the torch.
I did.
2008, so you were carrying the torch to China.
Yeah, I was carrying it the whole way there. No, it's the Olympic torch relay.
Yeah, what was it doing?
You only carry it a few metres. People were like, are you in training for that? And like people, and like literally you go from there to about there.
What was it doing in the
UK? So it was good though, because you look sporty and they give you the Olympic tracksuit. What?
Were you in the UK?
Yeah.
What were you doing in the UK when it was 2008? Because it was 2012 in the UK.
Well, you said 2008. I wasn't even listening.
So it's 2008. You've gone,
well, because
you're
they
taking
announced
it, to China.
It, don't they, 4 years before.
So you were taking it from China to London?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Anyway, tell us what happened.
Well, there was... And I kind of agreed. China has a terrible human rights record and someone was trying to make a point. So they tried to get the torch off me.
Yeah.
And then there were all these... It was really weird, because it was all a bit like... So our leg of it, the relay thing, was in Notting Hill Gate, and there was, like, steel bands playing, and crowds everywhere, and it felt a bit like the Notting Hill Carnival. But there was this sort of Chinese secret police people, and they were really, like, sort of eerie, in that, like this guy kept pushing my arm up because I wasn't holding it high enough. I was like, get off me! You know, and they were... No one knew who they were, so our police were like, who are they? The Olympic... relay organisers were like, who are they? They just sort of go everywhere with the torch and are really scary. Anyway, and so then this guy tried to wrestle off me. I hung on to it, by the way. Good. Yeah, yeah. I kept hold of it. And then afterwards, I was on the Today programme the next day. And then they were like, oh, who were those people in the tracksuits? And I was like, I don't know. No one knew who they were. And then, like, Newsnight, then as I was coming out, they were like, oh, we want to do a thing on the relay. Will you do a piece or whatever? And then, because when you're in BBC TV Centre, they will just come and grab you. And then, like, Channel 4 News were like, we found the guy that attacked you. Do you want to come? And I thought, no, this is ridiculous. This is so stupid. It's almost like Jeremy Kyle or something. Anyway, so I said no. And then I went filming to Abu Dhabi the next day, and I put the telly on, and there was a thing about me being attacked with the Chinese secret police and everything. This weird thing just grew. And so it turned into this big thing, but really it was literally like, hold that bottle. It was like this. And that was that. Wow. But you know how the media and these journalists, they make something
out of nothing. How come the Chinese people who were trying to make you hold it up didn't manage to stop this guy grabbing it? That's not...
Yeah, I know. They were wimps. Rubbish. They were just giving it all that when they weren't needed. And then when they were needed, they were nowhere to be seen. But I hung on.
That's good.
So there we go. Thank you.
Well done. Congratulations.
Right. Can I just say, I think China are terrible for their human rights abuses, but I support the Olympic Games and not
good.
China. Okay. Just
putting I like the Olympic torch. That's a good thing. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? A bit of fire running around.
A bit of fire. Fire
if it goes
important.
Out, they just light it again as well
with the lighter. Yeah. Not like in them olden days, no. Rubbing sticks and all that. Progress is good, isn't it?
It's good.
But it's bad too.
So you've become an author. Yeah. Are you still doing? Because you haven't done any like presenting for a little while.
I'm just Well, I was just mumming, and then suddenly now both the kids are in school, and I was like, oh no, I've got no excuses now. So I thought I'll write a book.
Yeah.
Because then you know, in between 9 and 3, I can just do it on my own time, and then get to drop off and pick up as well. You know, not have to have... You know, we were discussing this childcare thing earlier, weren't we?
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it?
It's annoying. You moved
to,
near your in-laws to be...
I've moved near to my in-laws.
See, we've got none of that.
Yeah.
My parents are no longer with us, so no babysitting there. Not that that's what...
I mean, it's the worst thing about it, right?
that's what I was trying to qualify. Just, and Charlie's parents are a bit sort of past doing that. Yeah. So I'm sort of hands-on mumming. But then you forget, or I didn't actually realise... That, you know, after the book comes out, the publishers want you to go to, like, book festivals and do this and that doesn't fit in between the hours of 9 and 3, all of that stuff. But, you know, writing books and podcasts are quite good to do with parenting.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've both got it sus.
We have.
Way to us. Although I bet your wife does the majority of drop-off and pick-up, doesn't she? It wasn't a like, no. It was like, well.
We have a bit of help, but
do you?
I would
have you got
say
a nanny?
I do. A little, not exactly a nanny, but we've got
you
a bit of help.
You don't like to say that. It sounds too fancy.
And, but I do.
You don't.
I do.
You don't.
I like it.
The way your voice, the sort of tone of your voice.
I can go in my electric car, I like it.
Are you trying to convince me or you?
I was just trying to get over... Step over the fact that someone else does the school.
Yeah, looks, brings your children up.
But I do half of all the other stuff.
What other stuff?
You know, the bringing up the children. It's not just driving around, isn't it? You've got to feed them, put them in a bed, bathe them.
Okay, that's...
Get up in the night. I'm very good in the...
How old are yours?
4 and 2.
Up in the night. Oh, yeah, okay, 2.
So I'm quite... My wife's not as patient as I am, certainly in the morning. So I tend to get up in the morning at whatever time I've gone to bed and try and do the early bit.
Oh, good.
It's not entirely fair.
That's good.
Yeah.
I get up in the morning and do all that. Charlie is like nocturnal, and so is our 7-year-old.
Right.
He flipping does not go to bed for love nor money. I mean, I can put him to bed as early can be, and he'll still be up at like 10 o'clock. awful.
Is he playing video? Is the video game one? Does he like video
you know
games?
What? So I've obviously Charlie's really into gaming.
He is,
whereas
yeah.
all the other mums at the school are like, and ours only have half an hour of screen time. And literally ours only have half an hour off screen time. And he absolutely loves it. Because you know like how some dads, you know, they bond through football or whatever. He bonds through gaming. It's the lost cause for me. So yeah. Basically, our children don't sleep and they're always on screens.
Yes.
Okay, you've rambled us.
Do they understand what you do? Do they understand what Charlie and you do? That your kids are they?
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, nowadays, you know, everyone's got iPhones and they've all seen themselves in selfies and screens and stuff. So yeah. It's not that. I mean, they saw. So they watch Newsround every day at school. And I was on Newsround the other day. And so then like, that was a source of real excitement for my son's class. But, yeah they're nonchalant.
So they watch Blue Peter?
Covey's just got to Blue Peter age, so he dips in and out. But you see, the problem is they're really into, like, gaming. It's terrible. And... So
watching a kid opening loads of boxes, that's what Charlie was talking about.
Oh, Ryan. Was he telling you about Ryan? Do you know about Ryan? Yeah. Oh, look, everyone knows about Ryan. Ryan has his own toys in Target. He's like the highest paid YouTuber that exists, and he's this 7-year-old boy in America. And it's funny, if you look at early Ryan videos, they sort of lived in this small flat, and now literally their house is MTV Cribs with its own, like, you know, TV studio and stuff, and there's Ryan toys everywhere, and yeah.
We should get our kids into that stuff.
But will they be happy?
No, I don't care. We'll get a little... Get... I'm mad, does it? Well, oh, my goodness.
Oh, look, you want to go home. You're looking at your watch.
No, I'm just working out what time it is. So I know how long I've done.
What time is it? I have no idea.
We've done 55 minutes of podcasting.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Time flies.
It does. It's, you know, that's enough.
When you're...
We could just walk off now and we go,
shall
that's
we?
It.
Should we just do it?
No, I've got loads of things to ask you about.
Maybe they want to go home.
They can go. Did They're welcome to go.
Oh,
you're welcome to leave at any point. I will ask you about... You were backstage at Glastonbury with Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Is it?
Well, you know, if you're 14.
Cody, our 7-year-old, said it's the worst day of his life. He calls that the worst day of his life.
Yeah, I don't really like Glastonbury. I can appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
But you're in the posh VIP bit, right?
With yeah, the nice there's sofas and pot plants and bowls of fruit and stuff like that.
So you're friends with Miley Cyrus now that she's been on Charlie's show? And take
friends.
That.
What was friends?
To take that, remember you from the interviews?
Take that, I mean, because they, then they got famous, but then they came on, like, they, I don't know if they did back then make that connection, but I haven't seen them since their, actually, I did a pub quiz with Jason Orange.
Well, there you go.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's random.
We all forgot about Jason Orange, don't worry.
That's random, but that was even years ago now. Yeah. You see, when you get
was Jason Orange the answer to any of the questions on the pub quiz? Who was that guy? He was in Take That.
Yeah.
It was me.
Jason Orange.
Have you ever been an answer on Pointless? Sarah Millican was just tweeting about being an answer on Pointless, and it was quite a hard question because it was whose was the curator of the Museum of Curiosity. That's quite hard, right, to remember who those are, and she wasn't Pointless. But I wonder how many people... I remember the first time I was on as an answer on Pointless, it was...
How many times have you been an answer
A couple
on
of times.
I haven't made and it in life. I bet John Noakes has been an
two,
answer on Pointless.
I think I got two people knew got me.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's pretty good for Pointless. That's... It's not very good for me, though, is it?
Yeah, no, not great, is it?
And so I kind of wondered, how many, you know...
I was an answer on Only Connect.
Oh, there you go, that's even better.
That's fancy.
I was mentioned on Only Connect.
Mentioned? Yeah. In passing?
Yeah.
How so?
It was about my hair, for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
What about your
think
hair?
Herring had been one of the answers on the wall, and someone had said someone was trying to connect.
Oh, yeah, okay. And was it the fish and not you?
No, it was me. No, it was a fish.
Yeah, it was the fish. So you weren't really an answer.
I think this, I think, like... There must be. I was very upset when I was, because that was early on in Pointless when my career was like, I was wondering what's going on with my career. And I was very upset.
And what is going on with
No, I know. It's not much. No. But I've got at peace with it now. But then I wasn't at peace with it. And I thought, you know, there's probably a Black Mirror. I keep on coming up with Black Mirror ideas. I sent one to
Charlie. You know what? He's not allowed. Don't
say anything if you're not going to say it.
No. But I can tell you. He's not allowed to look at other ideas.
Okay.
Because. He can't look at
Oh, yeah, no, I knew that. I sent him one last week. It wasn't really a serious one. It was out last week. We were talking. I don't know. You should do something about The Purge because I'm obsessed with it. Have you ever seen The Purge, the film? Or the?
Yeah.
It's just such a shit idea for it. Because, like, it sort of implies that if we were all able to kill each other, we'd all go out and kill each other. And I just don't think we would. I don't, you know, if that came up, I'd stay in, and so would everyone else. So they wouldn't want to be killed. But I thought it'd be a good idea to do a sex purge, a version of the sex purge, where one day a year. Don't know how this came up at quite out of the conversation we had last week. And you can, whatever relationship, you're allowed to have sex with anyone you want, as long as they want to have sex. So it's not like, it's not a rapey sex. It's not rapey sex.
The whole world.
Yeah, everyone, the whole world. Anyone, for one day, anyone can have sex with anyone
that
who wants to have sex with them.
That would be a mental day.
But the film follows some people who want to have, who want to cheat on their wives, but can't find anyone who will be, who'll go along with it. Or a couple who can't get a babysitter. We both really want to cheat. I thought that'd be quite a good one. But that'd be quite, no, I think there's like the humiliation of, like, being, you know, for being a celebrity and then seeing Pointless or whatever telling you no, you aren't, no one knows who you are, and your career's fallen apart. There's something in that, isn't there? Then going on a killing spree and killing everyone, yeah. Killing mainly Richard Osman. I just thought of something. I was cool with it, don't worry. I was all right.
You seemed cool with it.
I was cool with it. And I've been on Pointless 3 times since then. And have you done Pointless? Haven't you?
I did Pointless, and I did really well. So yeah. I decided I'm not going to go back on it because okay. I'll be really.
Did you
shite.
Win point? Did you win the trophy?
I think we did win the trophy.
You think you did?
I can't remember. Do you know what? I don't remember anything since having kids, which is why I couldn't really remember the other boat race that well. And you said all that detail. I was just like, I remember that. Yeah. I literally don't remember things. And also,
yeah, you didn't remember how to steer a boat while you were in the boat, did you?
I don't remember anything, and literally we'll watch box sets, we all do it on streaming, and like one series you'll watch it in like 2 days or whatever because you're binging everything, and then you watch like a million other series in between, and then you know the next season comes out and I've forgotten all the plot points from
too.
The first it's just
it's
awful.
Good, it means you can just watch the same programs over and over again.
It's like I've watched whole films before that I've seen and then realised, hang on, I know what's going to happen next. And then I realise I've seen this film before. Isn't that just... Maybe I've got early onset dementia. My mum had dementia and I've got a 1 in 3 chance because it's hereditary. And every time I can't remember something, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening. So maybe that's what's happening. Seeing it live.
I was going to try and wrap up now, but you know, that would be an insensitive time to do it, really, wouldn't it?
Don't worry, it's fine.
Well, my mum had dementia, but let's not worry about that right now. I don't think we're going to get away with it. The audience aren't behind us. Hey, Connie, it's been lovely to see you again. I forgive you for steering into me.
Oh, that's so kind of you.
And
is this why I'm on? Just so you?
Yeah,
could
I thought it would be more of an issue for you.
But I just couldn't even remember.
You can't even remember it happening. Yeah. If there was a Pointless of the other boat race. No. ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause, Connie Hart. Thank you so much for coming. Come and see us in the spring. You can buy your tickets now. I love you all. Goodbye. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Connie Huck. Thank you, as always, to Pest for their fantastic musical skills. I would also like to thank everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. I would like to thank everyone at Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato, all the crew who filmed these shows. They're great. Do think about these people who are self-employed during the coming months and help them out if you can. Not George the Incompetent Sound Guy, though. Let him perish as he deserves. I am indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm also very indebted to my executive producer this week, Pete Banks, who, don't tell him this, but whenever one of us was having a wank on set, which we often do, just to relax before the show, we would say we were having a Pete Banks. Didn't quite work because wank doesn't quite rhyme with Banks, but it was good enough for us. It was no insult to Pete Banks, who was an excellent producer on this one. It was just because it rhymed. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Please check out twitch.tv/RKHerring for even more content that should keep you entertained. There's stone clearing, there's snooker. We're going to be doing more interviews online to get us through the dark ages of this time that we are now living in.
stay bright and stay happy. Keep talking to your pals online, on the phone. Stay indoors, unless it's all over, in which case, stay indoors because of the nuclear winter that you're probably going through at the moment. Let's look on the bright side. Thanks for listening. Now, fuck off.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. gofasterstripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.